You are listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We are also heard on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Ellen, we're also heard on the World Wide Web, all over the United States and everywhere.
And everywhere. All over God's green planet. Or blue planet, whatever. Yeah, so on SitaMediaInc.com, you can find all of our shows for the last 11 years. It's hard to believe, Sita. It's like, I went back and looked. I was like, holy mackerel, there's a lot of data in here.
There is.
Yeah, so 1510 WWBC, you can click on that on-demand button and get us anywhere in the world, live right here on AM 1510 WWBC.
And thank you for being my right hand on this show, Miss Ellen, and getting our website up and running and helping to get people to sponsor our shows and post the shows and everything you do behind the scenes. It's well appreciated.
Well, and
not
so
just by
fun.
Me, but my family too.
Yeah,
as you
so
know.
I know. It yes. was so nice to see you yesterday.
And for our listeners who are just tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we have a friend who's calling in from Chicago. His name is Michael Drucklich. And I found him through, of course, social media. He was once a writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's currently a freelance writer. He's a social media marketer like myself and a film critic. And then we have in studio with us Dr. Bawana Bostic, Bawana Watkins Bostic, and she is an ordained chaplain and a professor of theology at the Life Christian University. She's a professional certified life coach, and she also runs the City of Refuge Christian Center here in Coco. So thank you, Doctor, for coming on our show again.
You're welcome. So
and
glad
I
to
can't
be here.
Wait to get to you in the second segment. But before we go to Michael Drucklich, who's on the phone with us from the Windy City,
yes,
which is going to be snowing
and chilly,
soon.
By the way, chilly.
We just want to say to our listeners and everyone who's tuned in today, don't be hesitant about taking your vaccine if you have valid concerns, medical reasons why. Talk to a professional. But as a nurse, I've been asked by numerous people to talk to people of color, just talk to anyone who wants to listen, that I've been vaccinated and I'm doing just fine. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, working as a long-term care nurse and I'm working in a COVID unit during COVID-19, I can tell people that COVID-19, the coronavirus, does not hesitate to discriminate against live human beings. The virus doesn't care what your religion is, your class, your culture, your skin color. It don't even care how much money you have in the bank. If you catch the virus, you're going to end up on the same ventilator like the poor man and the rich man. Everybody is.
That's right. That's exactly
so
right.
Really and truly, if you love your children, if you love your family and your friends, the vaccine gives you a chance to lengthen your lifespan. And if you didn't, make sure you see an attorney and get your will made. Whether you make a living will or you make a regular old will, at least get it done so that when the time comes when Mr. and Mrs. Death comes, at least you are prepared.
And keep in mind what you're focusing. Whatever you focus on grows, right? Life coach?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Whatever you focus on grows. So if you're focused on trying to find all the problems with it, if you're focused on trying to find the conspiracy theories, you will find them. You will totally find them. But however, you could focus on just as much about what the health benefits would be, just as much as you could focus on the negative.
Well,
so choose what you want to focus on.
People are confused and they are very concerned and they're worried about the safety of their well-being when they hear all the stuff on the news, you know, cable news. But the truth of the matter is you have to listen to science, use your common sense and still have your faith all at once. And that's working for me and my family and friends circle. And I'm proud to say we're all alive and well and we're doing good. So, and the other thing, I did listen to the closing arguments today in the case of Derek Chauvin.
Oh, Chauvin. Okay.
Versus the deceased George Floyd. And it saddens me to see, like, people think George Floyd is the one on trial. He's not. He died because he couldn't breathe, basically, right? And I said to myself, I wish I had a $20 bill, and I wish I had been in that store to give this man a $20 bill. Because he died over $20. And that just hurt my heart, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's causing a lot of us sleepless nights and anxiety, which Dr. Bosnick is going to talk about in her segment about anxiety and how to overcome all these sleepless nights people are having because of the condition our world is in today. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we're going to go straight to our friend Michael Druklich, who's called in, taking the time out of his busy day. So welcome to our show.
Thank you, Sita. It's a real pleasure to be on air with you.
Yes. So tell our listeners a little more about yourself. You know, you are one of those human beings that you are actually using your time on this earthly journey called life to really make a difference through your writing. I really enjoy what you write, and just knowing that there's people like myself, like-minded, it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Well, thank you for that introduction. That's very flattering. I started out my career as a journalist, as you know, and I did that for about 15 years. I was a journalist, a columnist, a film critic. I covered all sorts of different topics, politics, crime, transportation, education, you name it. And that really turned me into a versatile writer. I always liked writing. I was an English major in college. So that really gave me an outlet. And then about 10 years ago, I made the transition over into communications and social media marketing, and I've been doing that ever since. I just launched a film blog. It's called Thinking Critically. You can find it at Michael Druklich, that's spelled druklich.blogspot.com. And I just started that in January because I really missed getting to the theater and writing about it. And, you know, during COVID, you know, when we're all cooped up in our homes, as I hope most of us are, and not out in public unmasked, it just gave me another creative outlet besides, you know, what I do for work. So, you know, whenever something worth writing about comes to my mind, you know, everybody who knows me knows that, you know, I got to sit in front of that computer and I got to pound out the keys and try to make sense of it. So I really appreciate that intro there.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the things that you follow on social media are the things that all of us are following about. And, you know, it's such a shame to say this morning I saw something come across my newsfeed when I was walking at the gym, and it says, in case you missed it, another shooting somewhere. And you know what? It's just like my brain automatically says, oh, I send my thoughts and prayers, because it seems as though that's what everybody's doing. But do you think that we would actually get common sense gun control for what's happening in our nation? I mean, and we all know Chicago sure has its share of crime as well that is caused by gun violence.
Right. Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, I've been pushing for it, you know, most of my adult life. Ever since the Brady Bill expired, you know, that allowed for assault rifles and increased the number of rounds in a clip and things of that. But, you know, we've seen it ever since Columbine in 1999. You know, when people get a hold of, let me preface this. The issues around gun control typically center around whether or not to limit the size of rounds in the clips, or limit assault rifles, or maybe even tackling the Second Amendment in some way, taking away some of the provisions or amending it in some way. I think the problem is a bit more fundamental. And I think it speaks to, when we talk about gun violence, it speaks to Americans' tendency to be individualistic and selfish. And what I mean by that is, you take a look at, you know, three of the most well-known cases of gun violence in our history. Columbine in 1999, and then you have Sandy Hook, and then Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. Children were killed in all of those instances. And I just found it terrible that we as a country could not come together and agree that we cannot let people get a hold of these assault weapons, walk into a school, and start firing. That is just, it's just unfathomable to me. Now, when you compare that to the shooting in Australia that prompted the Australian government to I can't think of the name of it. It escapes me. I was just thinking about it this morning. Port Arthur. That's the name of it, I believe. The Australian government came out right afterwards and said, no more guns. And for the most part, Australians willingly turned in their guns and said, yeah, this is for the greater good of the country. This is what we have to do. And I don't know if we will ever see that. Because, like I said, Americans are rooted in individualism.
Yeah, and I wonder sometimes what it would take. Because, you know, I saw something on social media the other day. It says, Monday we had a mass shooting. Tuesday we had a mass shooting. Wednesday we had a mass shooting.
Yep.
Thursday we had one. Friday we had one. Saturday we had one. Even Sunday we had a mass shooting. But then some politician said, hey, we need to do something about trans playing sports. And we need to do something about people getting a blood clot from the vaccine, that out of millions of people, maybe a few people who had pre-existing conditions probably died from. But the idea about that is, I wouldn't say Republicans, because we can't say it's only Republicans. They are Republicans, Democrats, independents, human beings who turn a blind eye when it comes to the shooting, but focus all their energy on something else, when the shooting is something we should be focusing on. The murdering, the killings of children.
But don't you remember so
people?
Long ago, when even when those tragic incidents happened, we were afraid. We even said it on air that we were going to get desensitized to
but
all
we
of
are.
That, and we are.
Right.
Here we are, of like completely desensitized to children getting killed and for adults getting killed in the streets for no reason.
Right. So
exactly.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Michael Droklich, and he's calling in from Chicago. He's a freelance writer, a social media marketer, and a film critic. And we're having a conversation about things that are going on around the nation in an unscripted, interesting manner. So when people talked about, you know, the Black Lives Matter and the slogan to defund the police, of course, gun violence and the police and the Black Lives Matter, all these things go hand in hand. A lot of us here in Florida thought that that messaging was not something that should have been said. The word defund to us took away from the message of reallocating funds to the police department and communities that were oppressed. What do you think about that slogan, Michael?
I'm so glad you brought this up, because that slogan has annoyed me ever since I first heard it. And let me be clear. I am fully behind the concept, but I think that slogan is dangerous for the cause. Simply because people on the other side of the aisle have taken it and they've used it to their advantage. They've interpreted it literally, just like you said. You know, they've gone out to their constituents and said, well, these people want to defund your police. That means taking all of their money away and making them ineffective. They can't do their jobs. And that is essentially abolishing the police. And obviously, that is not the message behind it. But that slogan, frankly, I can't stand it. And it further annoyed me last year when the USA Today newspaper came out with an entire article devoted to explaining what defund the police really means. And then you follow that up with John Oliver on his program, I think last week or the week before, devoted a 20-some-odd minute segment on his program to do the same thing. Now, me being in marketing, if I were to come up with a slogan and I needed an entire news article and I needed a 20-minute segment on television to explain what my slogan really means, that means the slogan is an abject failure.
I agree.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense when, you know, we were just, before we went on air, we were just saying that, you know, we all learn certain things at home. The foundation for learning is from the house, right? From your parents, your elders, mm-hmm. the people around you. And when you have to wear a uniform, whether it's a nurse's uniform, scrubs to do surgery, a police uniform, a pilot uniform, whatever it is, a soldier, it shouldn't change who you are as a human being. You shouldn't forget love and respect and compassion and, mm-hmm. and patience and anxiety. All these things exist, right? And I'm going to have Dr. Bosnick jump in here. What do you think about that? When you put the uniform on, you shouldn't change your behavior.
Yes, I agree. All of that should be something that the person that put on that uniform, you know,
you bring to the job.
Yes,
your kindness and your goodness, part and your compassion.
Of you. Yes,
right.
Well, mm-hmm. that's integrity, right? Is doing the right thing even when no one's looking.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Isn't that, that I mean, that's the basis of integrity.
Yeah.
Kindness and all of the other parts go with it, obviously, but. But who you are when nobody's watching is truly who you are.
What do you think about that, Michael? You think that we shouldn't change who we are when we wear the uniform?
No, absolutely not. And if people go into law enforcement for all of the right reasons rather than on a power trip, then, yeah, you don't have a problem with that. But I'm glad you brought this up, too, because the FBI issued a report in 2006 that warned that white supremacist groups were infiltrating all forms of law enforcement and all branches of military. And they warned that this was going to become a problem. And right now, I think the Department of Justice, all departments, all law enforcement departments, and all branches of the military really need to look at the personnel and find out who these people are and start to weed them out. Because, you know, now we have cities facing major lawsuits because of the actions of the people in their law enforcement department. And we can't have that. And not just the lawsuits. The damage they do to the community, whether they're, you know, kneeling on somebody's neck or they're shooting somebody who's got their hands up in the air and they clearly aren't armed. So, you know, this can't continue to happen. And I really think it starts with the authorities and going through their departments and making sure that you don't have any of those white supremacists in their ranks.
Right. I mean, when children are little, we ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they tell us. And I think that's where it starts. If a child says, I want to be a cop, well, maybe they should sit down with a lifelong cop that actually took care of his neighborhood and his community and find out what it took to be that cop. I think we just saw a 91-year-old man in a police uniform on Facebook holding the hand of a child and walking. And that's the kind of impression you want, right? But anyway, to transition a little bit away from that, we're watching the Biden administration and we're watching all the awesome things that Uncle Joe is doing. And I know I am pretty pleased because I'm watching and I'm looking at the infrastructure plan and I'm saying to myself, okay, this infrastructure plan is going to be taking care of the United States, all of the United States, all the citizens, giving us new roads, new schools, upgrading the hospitals, all the water plants and things like that. What do you think about the Joe Biden's infrastructure plan? And do you think it's too expensive, like some people are saying?
Well, that's a good question. Well, When he first proposed it, I was kind of surprised by the breadth and the scope of it. I thought it was really ambitious. And President Biden is a centrist Democrat, has been throughout his career. And I was kind of surprised that he went this way. But then I started thinking because I was in a newsroom when he and Barack Obama came to office. And they had to deal with a housing market crash, and they came up with their stimulus plan. And they were roundly criticized because that plan wasn't complete enough, wasn't ambitious enough. And then they perhaps naively thought that, you know, people on the opposite side of the aisle would work with them to get it passed, and they didn't. And in fact, they whittled it down. So when I started to think about it, I thought, okay, well, President Biden really learned his lesson from that issue in Obama's administration. So I think, you know, he wanted to go ambitious, and he wanted it to be reminiscent of FDR's New Deal. And it is. Now, the thing about it is, it is expensive, and he has proposed increasing the taxes on anyone earning over $400,000. But there needs to be something else discussed here. And I have a friend who is a terrific writer by the name of James Pressler, and he's an economist by trade. And when Obama was coming up with his stimulus plan, he and I had some lengthy discussions about this. The architect behind the New Deal was the economist John Maynard Keynes. And I'm being very general here, so bear with me. Keynes pretty much postulated that it's okay for the U.S. to go into short-term debt to get the economy going again, to take on that debt, get people back to work, get money, get them paychecks, money in their pocket, and get them spending again. And then that's what gets the economy back on track. However, when the economy is prosperous again, and the government starts taking in revenue, that tax revenue, a portion of that has to go and pay down that debt again. And as a country, when we've found that we've had to borrow against our interest to restart the economy, we haven't done that. So, granted, you know, people on the other side of the aisle, no matter what President Biden suggests or proposes, they're going to find fault with it. But I think
it's almost like compromise has become such a bad word all of a sudden.
Oh yeah,
they just won't listen. But I mean, you could listen, and then you could offer your suggestions, like you do at home when sitting with your family and friends, and say, "Let's do it this way. Let's cut, fit, and trim it here." But some of the people on the other side don't want to listen. They just don't want to see President Biden succeed. But I think it's a good plan, and I think we do need it because, I mean, we all drive in certain parts of the United States and we see the bridges and we're like, should I cross this or not? How old is this thing? We have one in Jacksonville. I'm always afraid to cross that bridge, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we've all driven those roads and that need to be repaired. And that's not just, it's not just roads. It's not just typical infrastructure. It's new types of infrastructure. It's making sure, you know, now that we're in this COVID-induced sheltering in place and kids are having to learn through Zoom and video conferencing, you know, some of these kids in lesser affluent neighborhoods don't have access to that. And you're finding out that they're having to take their phones to the local Burger King and pick
just
up the
to
Wi-Fi
log on.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left of the segment, and I really want to get to a couple other questions because a lot of people around the nation, people are concerned about economic justice. They're concerned about prison reforms. People are concerned about just the word justice and how it affects people of color. And there's talk about expanding the Supreme Court to 13 justices. What do you think about that?
Honestly, I like it. And it's, you know, for some people on the other side of the aisle, like Mitch McConnell, to say that doing so somehow besmirches the sanctity of the court, let's get one thing clear. The court has been expanded and contracted numerous times over the country's history. In 1801, it was shrank from 6 to 5 when Thomas Jefferson was coming into office. When he got a majority in Congress, they expanded it back to 6. And then they increased it to 7 when their Congress created a 7th Circuit Court. Abraham Lincoln increased the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 10. And then it was contracted during Andrew Johnson's administration to limit the justices that might oppose congressional reconstruction plan. So to say that this is unprecedented is blatantly false. But, you know, besides the partisan politics, there's a practical reason for that. When Johnson increased the number of justices from 6 to 7 to reflect the increase in circuit courts, we now have 13 appellate courts across the country. Increasing the number of justices to 13 would allow the federal government to take on the backlog of the cases that are facing the Supreme Court.
Right, we have more people, more cases, a lot more than when they did that, God knows how many years ago. But our producer's telling me we have 2 more minutes, so I wanted to ask you really quickly, what are you looking forward to doing most when this pandemic is over, because we're all on social media and we're reading. I know I haven't changed my life much because I'm outside, I'm still working, I'm still at the gym and everything. But I see everybody up north, and I know you guys are, the weather doesn't really help, especially if it's going to be snowing. What are you looking forward to doing in after the pandemic?
Oh, God. I want to see my friends, and I want to have physical contact. I want to be able to hug and kiss people on the cheek, my closest friends and family members on the cheek again. That's what I've missed most. I thought, I'm comfortable in my own skin, and I'm comfortable with my alone time. But I've really missed having human contact, and I'm really looking forward to that again and being able to, get back to somewhat of a normal routine.
Well,
I'm sure.
Well, Michael, I know at the time, I swear, the show goes by so fast. Ellen is giving me that look that we need your information in case people want to read your blogs or get on your website. So give us your personal information for our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Sure. You can find my blog at Michael Drakulich, and that is spelled D as in Daniel, RAKULICH .blogspot.com.
And fantastic interview.
I
thank
could
you
talk
so
to
much.
Him forever.
I know.
I mean, he's so well. My goodness. We'll have to have you back on the show because I know Paul has been looking, our producer Paul keeps a note of all the people that call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I know that he's enjoying the conversation as well as we are. Yeah. So I'd love to bring you back on later, too.
And we look forward to following your blog.
Yeah, I would absolutely love it. This has been a terrific conversation, and I'm really glad to have been a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And for our listeners out on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're going to take a quick commercial break and listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned right after these messages.
The Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low cost sandwiches and baskets to high end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Choctaw Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Choctaw Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Choctaw Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We're also heard on the World Wide Web. And we are so fortunate to have a recurring guest, a friend of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Dr. Bwana Watkins-Bostick. And she is the founder of the City of Refuge Christian Center right here in Cocoa, Florida. She's also an ordained chaplain and a professor of theology. So welcome. Ellen, I can't say enough about Dr. Watkins. There were times when we had people that booked to come on the show and then canceled, and I called Dr. Bostick and she came on. And I'll never, you know, those are things that people do for you when you're in the time of need that you don't forget.
That's right.
So welcome. Yes.
So glad to be here.
Yeah, and you were enjoying that first segment as well.
Yes, I
was.
Yeah,
because he was talking to us about things he had seen, and he reads a lot, and we learn something, right? Every day we learn something new.
Every day.
From our friend Michael Druklich.
Yes, and we're so looking forward to hearing about the City of Refuge and how things are going locally here in Cocoa, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us first a little bit about yourself so that our listeners can get caught up again.
All right. As she stated, I am Pastor Bwana Bostick, the senior pastor at the City of Refuge Christian Center right here in Cocoa, Florida. I'm also a life coach. I'm also a professor at University. I don't forget.
UCF?
Yes, UCF.
In Central Florida. I know everybody, and
you know
for
why?
The listeners that are out there.
She's so calm.
True. But all the colleges around here change their names. I still call it Brevard
Community
BCC.
College.
I still call it BCC, and it's University of Eastern
well,
Florida.
So that's what happened since you were last here. You, in addition to running the City of Refuge in Cocoa and being an ordained minister and helping with serving meals in our community and taking care of people, you're also teaching.
Yes. And
so tell us about that.
I've been teaching Life Christian University, actually, and the site where I teach at is in Palm Bay. But the main campus is in Tampa.
Okay.
And I graduated from that college. But it's an awesome thing to do for students that wants to dig a little deeper, just like I did. And my last course just a few days ago was on spiritual gifts. And just to, you know, learn more about that, because all of us have them.
Yes.
And to learn the one... you know, how the Lord is dealing with you specifically is, you know, the point of the class. So
right.
It was a great class.
Well, it is wonderful to wake up every day and understand that there's something higher than ourselves.
Yes.
A creator, whether you call him Jesus or Ram or you call him Allah or, you know, Buddha, whatever it is. It's around us. We're surrounded by the beauty of the universe that's bigger than ourselves, that's going to be here when we leave. And I think that's one of the things that Ellen and myself and all our guests on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends try to do. We try to have this show and give out the valuable information to people who want to learn something new every day and leave a good footprint on the earth when we finally go home.
Right.
Right? Wherever. And with COVID-19, I'm sure you're seeing a lot of anxiety and worries and a disturbance of our minds with the people that you minister to. So tell us a little bit about how are you helping out people who come to you and their mind is in such a state that they need the help.
And not only coming to me personally, but we see it every day on television with the shootings and, you know, not only killing other people, but killing themselves. So we know anxiety is, it's like worrying, nervousness, you know, a disturbance of one's peace of mind. It's a source of unhappiness, a restlessness, a trouble. You know, you're feeling these emotions within you, and you're trying to find out, how can I get that peace? So when people come to me, of course, as I counsel as a pastor and a life coach, you know, the key is to drive them to the inner feeling, what's going on inside. And a lot of times you're trying to put a Band-Aid on it and not address the root of the cause, and it's what's going on inside of you. And, you know, I like to use this scripture, and if you don't mind me quoting it here, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, the peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And when we go to the Word of God, these scriptures like this really can soothe those problems, really can get us focused on what is really going on. Because another scripture in the Word of God, 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast your cares on me because I care for you.
Yes.
And when we choose to do what the Word says, then those worries and that anxiety is limited, you know.
Right.
Well, and if you're Christian, that's like that. I used to say all the time that it's the biggest sin against God is to worry. Mm-hmm. It's because God says that he's going to provide and he's going to do all of the things. So that it's almost like worry is like testing your faith.
Right.
You know, and testing whether or not you really do believe that you are going to be taken care of and that things are going to be provided for you. And the way is going to be shown. You know, you might not be given it to you, but you certainly get the path. Right. You get the boat. You get the helicopter. You get the canoe, right?
Yes.
how to get saved.
And you know what it is, too? You're right. And along those lines, we do say that everything happens for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as our heart hurts over what happened with Mr. George Floyd, something is going to come out of it. Something bigger than ourselves.
Yes.
And I do believe we're going to see police reform and things like that. And I feel like those are the things that when you say God is watching, he is, mm-hmm. right? And he's going to do something about it, right?
That's right.
But you know what I was going to ask you? How do we help our children through the coronavirus, this COVID-19? We're watching where, like our former guest who called in, Michael Druckledge, said, we are seeing parents who don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing parents who don't have health care. We're seeing parents who are worried where the next meal is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell those parents when we tell them to have faith, but then they look at us with eyes wide open and they said, right now, I have no hope? What do you say to them?
Well, you know, family is the key to our society. And because of COVID, or during COVID, actually, we saw so much shifting in the family. You know, we saw more abuse in the family unit, divorce in the family unit. And you know, I have to call in that peace, you know, when that person or that woman or man is going through this COVID season and the children just don't quite understand what's going on. You know, this was the time to pull back, to unify your family. This was the time to sit
to
your
reset.
Children down.
Reset,
yes.
Reset, reevaluate, and rethink.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think COVID-19, although so many people lost their jobs and everything, and I'm so grateful for the stimulus and what people got from the government to help them, but it is, because we had people who were aimless,
mm-hmm.
but now they're focused on family.
Right.
And is that what you're saying? Like,
yes.
Focus on what's important?
Mm-hmm. And family is so important, and a lot of times when you really look at it, look back, even in your personal family, you would see, hey, we lost touch. You know, we don't do what we should have, or we don't do as much as we should have been doing. You know, spending time together, talking, laughing.
Even
you
reading
know?
Your holy book.
Even reading
whatever
your
religion
Bible.
You are, yes. Pick a verse and go for it.
Right, right.
Well, we had Dr. Amasita Gibson on the show, and she always talked about faith and family and food and finances mm-hmm. and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that during this time period that we're all living, Lord knows 2019, 2020, now we're in 2021, we're still dealing with this virus.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's a time for people to be gentle with themselves?
Yeah.
And seek forgiveness and forgive others.
Right.
And how do they do that, Dr. Bawana Watkins Bostick? How do they do that?
You know, through love. And we, you know, it could sound so normal just to say to love your sister, brother, the other person, because God is love. But it's so powerful. But most of all, you have to love yourself. And, you know, I had a friend that we were talking, maybe a week ago, and she quoted or said to me, you know, the Bible talks about how much we should love one another, but, you know, Christians just don't love themselves. And I found that to be so true.
Yeah, like forgive yourself. Be your own best friend.
Right.
I always say, I am my own best friend. I'm like, Sita plus Sita. I'm like, you know, because I feel like when I look in the mirror, I have my own insecurities myself.
Yes.
And I have things I have to forgive myself for, maybe something I said, maybe something I did. But most of all, I don't want to beat up on myself, because mm-hmm. then you feel horrible.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And a lot of people do that. They don't take the time to forgive themselves.
That's true.
So somebody just sent me a question. They said to ask you, what can we do to instill better work ethics in our children? Because a lot of people are seeing where, with the COVID-19, the parents are still trying to do something, but children, for some reason, people are they just don't have our work ethics like we did in the 50s, 60s. What, I was born in the mm-hmm. 60s. But, I mean, people are talking about the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Right.
When a man would take a son to work for and be an apprentice, and they learn something. What's happened to our country with this work ethics?
Well, I can start off with my family. As you stated, growing up, it was 9 of us siblings. And what Mom did for us to build that in to us, we all had chores. You know, parents now may not give their children chores. Everyone had to do something in the house. And once everything or every person done their part, the house was clean. So we can easily do that within families today. A lot of that has been thrown out the window. For what reason? I'm not sure, but it's a simple thing to do. You know, not just to give out or hand out to your children, you know, money. You
or
know.
A cell phone.
Or a cell phone.
Cell phone costs between $50 to $75 a month. Make them work for it.
That's right.
Well, I think what you're saying is my parents did the same thing. Cleanliness was next to godliness,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't matter what religion you believe in. But yes. People just don't do that anymore.
Right.
So how do we get people to focus more on their families? It's like we live in such a rat race now.
Right.
That the focus of the family is kind of gone by the wayside.
Well, I'm hoping during this COVID time that it really brought a lot of families together. And I see more from what I see as a pastor, as a life coach, that it really helped a lot of families to bond. Because what else could you do? There was nowhere else to go, you know, when everything was down. And family was there.
Yes, yes.
And you use those communication skills and begin to know one another, learn of one another again, you know?
Yeah. And this month is, I think it's domestic violence, a sexual assault month.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw a rise in domestic violence and assaults. Have you seen that with the church, where people were coming to be counseled or maybe running away, trying to get a place to be safe?
Right. And it's everywhere, just like you say, COVID has, you know...
No boundaries.
No boundaries. Yeah. So does what your question. But it is seen, it's more prevalent now. And the person, usually it's a woman that's being abused, needs to get that information You know, you can easily pull it up on your phone now, internet. Go to, you know, domestic violence and find those answers that you need. You know, get a escape plan put together in your mind for safe reasons. You know, if you have children, how are you going to escape? Because you really have to escape, but it has to be in a safe way. And that type of information is also on the internet.
So you're saying have a plan.
Yes, yeah. Have a plan.
And Doctor, do you, for our listeners who are tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. Bawana Watkins Bostick, and she's an ordained minister, and she runs the City of Refuge here in Cocoa. Do you feel as though we're doing enough in this country to address gun violence and mental health? Because we know we've had our share in Cocoa. I've seen mothers being counseled when their children were shot and killed in within minutes. Do you think we're doing enough to address mental health and gun violence?
Well, I know that we are doing some, but to say we're doing enough, I would say no. You know, it needs to be more prevalent, even in our schools, for children to be able to get a hold of that information. Because, you know, when they come to the teacher's classroom, you just don't know what they've gone through just that morning to get to school.
That's right.
So just to put that information in their hands would be, you know, a great thing as well.
And I would caution parents, too, because the children were around so much that when they would say things like, I don't want to be doing this homeschooling thing, and kind of talking to their friends and hearing the child being in earshot of that, it's like, you know, what's wrong with me kind of thing. So there was, you know, sort of unintended mental abuse that was going on as well, that the children are suffering, and certainly now going back to school or not going back to school or however that's working, it wasn't always a pleasant experience for everyone.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be, and that's the other part about the kindness, right, in the world is just to try and reach out and realize that people are going through a different storm.
Put yourself in people's shoes, right?
Yeah,
right.
Or realize that's that it. They just have different shoes.
Uh-huh.
Like,
right,
everybody's
right.
got
that's
different
true.
Shoes.
That's
they're
true.
Not a size 8 and a half.
Yeah, like, I don't have to understand it necessarily. I just have to know that you have different shoes.
Right.
Well, I noticed you do talk a lot about Proverbs, and one of the verses you wrote for us is 4:23.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that is, I am finding from what I'm hearing from my friends on social media and reading, I read a lot, that women are often the ones, the caregivers now, the women are facing the most stress.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to having to care for the family during this coronavirus, they're struggling with their self-worth and their self-esteem.
Right.
How do we help the women to come out of that funk?
Yeah.
Because they're very, at this point, so many of them, they just don't know what else to do.
Right. And, you know, before COVID, that problem was there.
Right.
Because sometimes it's hard for that mother to take care of herself.
There's no breakaway.
Right.
Where do you go?
Right.
Right.
And we do have to drive that point. Self-care is so important. We must take care of ourselves. We must take a break somehow. Find that family member. Find that friend that can give you an hour. Just take little by little.
Yeah.
You know, you may can't get a day yet, but at least get an hour of peace, you know. So little by little, it helps just to break away for a few minutes. That's why they have breaks that on your job with 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, you refresh yourself and you come back.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference.
That's such a true statement because you do feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing we're seeing where some prisoners who are up for parole, you know, they were going to be released.
Right.
They had given them a chance to go home with an ankle bracelet. And the people went home and they did fine. They were with their families. But then we saw some prisons said, well, it's time to come back. I mean, what do we do to help our country so that we're not seeing so many people locked up? Because when you lock up a man, a friend of mine was talking to me about this, and she said, when you lock up a man up for possession of weed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and we're not talking hardcore crimes, we're talking, you know, crimes here that we see on in Brevard and everywhere else, traffic stops and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you're taking a man away from his family, then the mother is left with all these children to raise. There's
right.
that second set of hands is not there, those helping hands. What can we do more to have a community to where it's safer and maybe make it better for the families? And maybe if you release someone early and they were doing fine, why not follow through with that and give them an official release?
Right.
Are you seeing any of those kind of things at the church?
I have not seen any of that, but we pray so often for it.
Yes.
And, you know, prayer changes things. And, of course, it'll help move the hand of man because, you know, it lies in the hand of man. The laws need to be changed as well. But, you know, we pray Monday through Friday on our prayer line. And Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we pray at 6 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. So prayer is very important to this ministry. You know, we're here for the people. And we have seen how prayer changes things. So when we can't physically do it, of course, we're going to do it spiritually.
Right. And you respect the right of all people, no matter what religion. So if somebody has a prayer request, give our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends the phone number or the website to call, because I noticed that you're big on that.
Yes, I am. Because I'm a product of prayer. I'm yeah. here today, you know. I was an abusive marriage at one time, and I escaped. And I know God, because of Him, I'm here today. So our prayer line is on our website, CedarRefugeBBM.com. You can go there and leave a request. You'll see prayer requests right there as you open it up. Leave a request, and I will get it, and we will pray for you.
Yes, and I just want to tell our listeners that our guest, Dr. Bawana Bostic, Watkins Bostic, I just love her name. She is she's an ordained minister, and the chaplains are persons who are called by God, who have been professionally trained and certified to minister to people's spiritual needs within the context of empowering people. And what I like about you is it doesn't matter the circumstances, you pray with people.
Yes.
And those of our listeners who are listening and who can afford to donate to the ministry, they can do that as well.
Yes, they can.
So tell us some of the things that you do at the ministry. You feed the poor, you clothe the homeless. What else do you do?
Well, we are on the street corners. We are outside right
she
here in
Cocoa. She said the street corner. Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah, no. No, it's a good corner.
Yeah. We're holding up signs and talking about Jesus Christ. That's why we're on the street corner, to let others know that they have not been forgotten, to let others know that, hey, we love you in spite of what you're going through. You know, we see prostitutes, we see people with addiction just walking the streets, and we are there for them. And they can stop anytime for prayer and whatever else they need. We can recommend different organizations to them as well. So we're out in the community. We care for every soul, just like Jesus did. He died for everybody. And the Cedar Refuge Christian Center is for everybody.
Right. So, and Dr. Bostic, I'm gonna throw like a little curveball here, just a second. If you, given all of the wisdom and all of the things that you've been exposed to, if you had one thing, like one thing for the city of Cocoa, because I know it's a town that you love, just mm-hmm. like I love it here as well. What would be the one thing that if you could say, this is it? What does it mean to you?
It would be a dream center. I want a dream center for this city. And the dream center will accompany all the needs of every person. The homeless, they need a place to stay. They need medication. The addiction, they need a place to be free from that addiction. Whatever the need is, food, clothing, everything they need, that one person.
Of true refuge.
Yes.
Yeah, like a place to go.
A place to go.
Right, and some of the things you talk about also is don't be so hard on yourself.
Right.
Embrace who you are mm-hmm. and focus on good things.
Yes.
And you say when you help someone and serve others, you're also serving yourself. So with the 3 minutes left, I just wanted to let our listeners know that you also perform weddings, funeral ceremonies, you administer communion, deliver spiritual messages, You offer prayer at public meetings and regular counseling as well. But I want you to expand with the last two or three minutes we have. How do we embrace ourselves and focus on good things? And it, because it does make us feel better.
Right. And you know, when we help others, and this is a time where people, so many are in need, and you found yourself maybe looking at us in here that, hey, we had more than we thought, you know, going through COVID. Sometimes so many people found themselves without. But I believe we can say, hey, I had more, and I can share. I can share with what I have. So just being a servant to someone, just giving someone, you know, we had the mask on, right? But, you know, people can yet see a smile through the mask. You can yet smile in the grocery store line. You can yet smile, you know, while you're out. And they can see that smile, even though your mask is on. So you be the one that comes into that atmosphere with peace. And then that person that's having anxiety, that they can be calm.
Yeah.
Because you brought peace to the situation.
And that's where one of your favorite verses, Luke 6:38.
Yes.
If you'd like to read that on air for us, because I think we have a minute or so. Yeah, I think you have enough time. I love that.
And it reads, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Yeah.
And that's Luke 6:38. So when we give, it will return.
And you're saying give with your time.
Yes, your
time. If you can give with your finances, give. Mm-hmm. And like Ellen said, your love and your kindness.
Yes.
And we have maybe 20 or 30 seconds. Just give us your website so people who want to come on can come on and maybe request a prayer. And they could give love and kindness.
Okay. Our website is City of Refuge, BBM, like boy, boy, Mary, .com. City of Refuge, BBM.com. You can donate. You can leave a prayer request. You can listen at the messages from the ministry. There's so much on there that you can tap into.
Yeah. I like that you say that that God loves you. And he walks with you and he hears your prayers.
Yes, he does.
And that is for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are.
Don't matter who you are.
Another fantastic edition right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us. For Michael,
so
who
welcome.
Joined us on the show this morning.
Michael Drucklich.
Yes, thank you so much for all of the information. It's all posted on our website, SitaMediaInc.com, and also on our Facebook page. We'll see you next week, folks, right here, 1 o'clock Eastern Time on WWBC.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.